Come listen to our radio show.
Mixtape Radio, every Wednesday night at midnight.
Until 3 a.m. Thursday morning.
Featuring the newest and the best in indie, alternative, and experimental music.
With your hosts, Jeff
and Christine.
So tune in. It's really gonna go down.
And it's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock, time once again for Off the Wall. The amazing thing is I fooled everybody and nobody knows. Nobody knows what I've done to fool you all. Maybe you can guess. You'll know soon enough. But boy, did I ever pull one over. And I'm proud of myself, too, because I did it at the last possible moment. You know how I always run in here. Sometimes I run in here early, but the odds still defeat me and still manage to make things late and sound like they're not coordinated. I had everything working perfectly, and then everything stopped working perfectly, and that's why we started a little bit late, because I had to do some catching up and repairing and things like that. But there is one thing that I did that was completely my fault, and that's what I've covered up so admirably, which I'm just very proud of. Yeah, well, I'm not going to say anything until it becomes obvious. But let me just say that this is an abbreviated show. We're only on for 45 minutes today because there's another big game. Who is it exactly? Today is what? January the 15th. Hang on. Boston University, I believe, is visiting here and attempting to play our men's basketball team here at Stony Brook. And they're in for a rude awakening, aren't they? If any of you are listening... Wow, you don't know what's ahead of you. So tune in for that game, 6:45 p.m. here on WUSB. And you hear WUSB, not WUSB, you hear about Stony Brook sports teams more and more in the national sports reports, sometimes the international ones when there's an incident of some sort. But, yeah, it makes you think, wow, this place is really advancing, at least in the arena of sports, to coin a phrase. And hopefully we'll advance in other areas as well, including maybe studio facilities would be nice. I'm sitting on a chair now. I don't want to get into this, but somebody fixed the chair, and now it's like I'm a trapeze act on a high wire. I'm wobbling. There's not enough time to move it around and find new chairs, but I've never had this kind of sitting experience before, where I literally feel like I'm about to topple over, and I just have to maintain my balance, which I guess is a good thing to do when you're trying to maintain your thoughts, is to maintain your physical balance as well. What I'd like to do is, I'd like to get on with the show, because we don't have as much time as we usually do. I was expecting a lot of angry mail. I didn't get any angry mail. Got nice mail. Nice mail after last week's show, which was all about guns and my feelings on them, my repeated feelings on them. And maybe that's also an indication that we've stepped ahead, we've moved forward in the dialogue a little bit, where it's not so much finger-pointed, but rather let's work together and find solutions to these kinds of things. And I'm hoping that's where it goes. I'm hoping tomorrow, when Obama makes his announcements or proclamations or whatever it is that he does, that it's something that we can get behind and figure out how to make things as good as they possibly can be under what can only be described as pretty screwed up circumstances. Obviously, not all the solutions are going to come at once, but if it's a step in the direction towards solutions, then that's something. That's something. Not much in the way of consolation to so many, but these things don't happen overnight. It takes time. And one thing I think that more and more of us can agree on is that we have not been moving in the right direction in the previous years, decades, what have you. So that's my opinion, and of course you're welcome to your opinion as well. When we take phone calls, we open up the phone lines. Won't be able to do that tonight, unfortunately, because, well, there's all kinds of cables and patches for the game, and also we don't have as much time. But hopefully next week, if we don't do another British show, I'm not sure if we're going to be doing that. We'll know soon enough. But you can always write to us, otw@2600.com. In fact, I'd like to read a couple of the email bits that we got in the last week. Very, like I said, nice emails that we received. Okay, so let's see. This
hit the microphone until it starts working.
Is
this place just set up to piss me off today?
Yeah, okay, well now you see how I fooled you.
This place is completely abandoned.
Yeah, I forgot the intro, okay? I forgot to bring the intro in today. So I went on the web and I found last week's show, and I just played the intro to last week's show because it's exactly the same. Until I start talking, and then it gets kind of it gets very confusing. So I have to turn it down now, and there's no more intro. And I'm afraid, folks, there will be no more intro after this week. And the reason for that, if you recall, those of you who have been taking notes over the years will have noted that we had an intro long time ago. When we started the show back in 2003, we had an intro. And then in 2009, we changed the intro, and we kind of decided at that point that we were going to change the intro every time there was an inauguration of a president in our country. So you had the George W. Bush theme. I don't really want to insult Philip Glass by saying that his music is a theme for George W. Bush, but it just, if you hear that particular theme, and I could go on the web right now and play that, but I'm not going to, because enough is enough. But if you heard that particular music at the beginning of this show, then you knew, oh boy, it's the Bush era. And the music that you heard just now, well, okay, that's Obama first term. First term music for Obama. Next week will be the second term of Obama. So by the new rules that we set into place completely arbitrarily, we're going to change up the music again. Now, I know we should have done that in 2005 for the second term of Bush, but we hadn't thought of it yet, so give us a break, all right? So that's it. You're not going to hear that music again. And I guess it's a bit apropos that I forgot to bring the theme in this week. I've never done that before. I guess I was just a little bit ahead of myself. Hopefully, I'll remember to bring the new theme next week. because I know people will be disappointed otherwise. All right, let's get some of this listener mail. And again, you can participate in listener mail yourself by learning to write, important, and then getting an internet connectivity of some sort and emailing OTW at 2600.com. That's 2600.com. OTW, of course, stands for Off the Wall. That is the name of this program. Alex writes in. I'm sorry, Alec writes in to Emmanuel and Kyle. I've been listening to your UK trip recordings over the past couple of weeks. Just wanted to say I think they make great radio. I'm originally from the UK. As soon as I said great radio, a piece of the board fell down. I'm sorry. I just have to put this back together. Sorry, folks. Literally, the board fell apart in front of me. I wasn't even touching it this time. All right. We need some crazy glue around here or something. I'm originally from the UK and have been to many of the places you visited on the trip to get photos for the 2013 Hacker Calendar. And by the way, folks, those 2013 Hacker somebody took the Hacker Calendar I put up here in the studio. Can you believe somebody actually went to the trouble to reach over there and take something? We have thieves here. Just took the calendar off the wall, and now we have no calendar. Isn't that something? Oh, no, wait a minute. It's in the back. I'm sorry. they put it in the back. All right. You know what? My mistake. But there usually is a calendar right in front of me, too. So maybe we just need a smaller calendar for there. But, yeah, sometimes people do take things. Calendars notwithstanding. Okay, so, yeah, those calendars are working, and they're operational now, and you'll learn all kinds of interesting things, and you can still find them. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind. I've been to many of the places you visited on that trip to get photos for the calendar. It's equal parts hilarious, poignant, and thought-provoking to hear your exploits. I've listened to Off the Wall since its inception, along with Off the Hook, Brain Damage, Voice of Long Island, and your continued broadcast and podcast underline to me the continued relevance of good radio. Wow. Sort of makes it worthwhile to hear something like that. I mean, I think we all need to hear that occasionally. Everybody who does radio needs to know that it matters. And I think that's true of just about anything we do. I've donated to WBAI and WUSB, despite probably never getting to hear their FM signal over a radio, precisely because they support the sort of content-rich programs you've dedicated your life to. Living in Australia, yeah, that would be difficult to hear the FM signal, I guess. Although not much more difficult than it is in some places around here, but I won't get into that. Living in Australia, the time difference makes it difficult for me to phone in, but I may well do so one of these days. And Alec, I sure hope you do, because you sound like an interesting person and has a lot of appreciation for cool things in the world, and we need more people like that. Here's another letter from Andrew, just listening to Off the Wall via podcast. Yes, I know it's not a podcast. It is a podcast, but it's not primarily a podcast. How's that? It's actually broadcast over the FM waves, and that means something. That's a difference. You know, I just got a new car. I have Sirius XM radio in it, and I've been going through channel by channel just to see if this is worthwhile. I think I'll wind up keeping it only because there are some worthwhile things on it. But for the most part, and I mean 90-95% of it, is trash, because it's basically, and I'm not saying the music they play is trash. The music is actually quite good, and the sound quality is very good. But it's not radio. It's a music box. It's somebody's iPod just basically playing with occasional voices that say you're listening to Sirius Channel whatever. And there's no personality. There's nobody there saying, boy, it's raining outside, or wow, the board's falling apart in my face, or it's 16 minutes after six, or all kinds of things that you have with live radio, or just radio in general, just basically a human being in a studio. Interacting maybe with other human beings. You don't hear somebody talking to the next person that's coming on, for instance, or anything like that, anything that implies humanity. You basically hear advertisements for the corporate service they keep providing over and over again. It's glorified Muzak, really, for the most part, but there are exceptions. I haven't yet gotten to the exceptions because I'm going through channel by channel, and I'm up to, I think, channel 70. I just got to the Blues Channel, which is all right. Not bad, but not anything like what we play on this radio station. But yeah, you can get it throughout the entire country and Canada too. And that's kind of cool. But it ain't radio, so let's stop calling it that. Wow, did I go off on a tangent? I'm sorry, Andrew. Your letter is being destroyed by my rants. It's not a podcast. We've gotten that far. I was listening while on the train back to London, Ontario. and heard about the passing on of your beloved Tercel, which actually I drove today, so it hasn't quite kicked the bucket yet. That car does not have Sirius XM, whatever else they merged with. It has regular radio. So that's kind of cool, too. I do like that car. I will be getting rid of it at some point, but it's a real workhorse, especially when it snows. And I'm not sure I want to subject a new car to a Long Island winter just yet. So right now, I've got too many vehicles to keep track of. Anyway, I would just like to say hats off to you for surviving the hood incident and safely pulling over to the side of the road. Andrew's referring to the second time the car tried to kill me when the hood popped up while I was driving at highway speeds. Apparently the latch is a little bit loose, and it was a challenge when you suddenly are presented with an opportunity to not be able to see where you're going at 55 miles an hour and having to stop very quickly and pull over three lanes of traffic onto a shoulder and not have anybody honk at you at the same time. That's a testament to people out here on Long Island being somewhat sane, at least in that particular instance. Enough people have enough trouble with the simple task of keeping their car on the road without having their windshield blocked by a giant metal sheet. So I think you should be commended. Well, I accept your accommodation, Andrew. Thank you very much. 20 years and 270,000 miles is just one more reason why I myself also own a Toyota. This is not a product endorsement, but how many cars do you know that have done 270,000 miles? Hopefully my new car will do that. It's a diesel, so diesel engines... Thank you, Kyle. Diesel engines will last forever. He convinced me to get a diesel, and it makes sense. They last for a very long time. Of course, the smart car is also a diesel. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I could. Anyway, finishing off this letter here, as always, thanks for your unending efforts in the hacker community, and thank you, Andrew, for your support and your kind words. We have a couple of stories I'd like to plow through very quickly because we don't have that much time today, and I would like to cover as much ground as possible and as much diverse ground as possible, too, because there are many things going on, some of which are quite interesting and unusual. You might not have heard about them in other places. For instance, have you heard about this one? This is kind of interesting. An Iowa man has been reunited with his sister 65 years after the siblings were separated in foster care, thanks to a 7-year-old friend who searched Facebook. Yes. Wait, okay. You know what? I didn't quite read this as carefully as I should have. I didn't realize a 7-year-old is responsible for all this happening. And first of all, should 7-year-olds be allowed on Facebook? Is that permitted? Did the 7-year-old break any kind of law? I just heard somewhere where kids aren't supposed to be going to certain websites without permission or using social networking. So I don't know. That kid might be facing some charges there. Clifford Boyson of Davenport met his sister, Betty Billadieu, in person on Saturday. Yes, they had different last names. That made it a lot more difficult, I imagine. Billadieu drove up from her home in Florissant. All these interesting names. Well, Boyson, I guess, isn't that interesting. But Davenport, that's a nice name. Billadieu and Florissant, Missouri. That's where she drove up from. She drove up there with her daughter and granddaughter for the reunion at a hotel in Davenport. Boyson is 66. Billadieu is, I guess I shouldn't say it that way, but I just want to. Billadieu is 70. They both tried to find each other for years without success or placed in different foster homes in Chicago when they were children. And then that's when 7-year-old Eddie Hanselin, who is the son of Boyson's landlord. Okay, it's getting complicated. That's when the 7-year-old got involved. Eddie managed to find Billadieu by searching his mom's Facebook account, without her permission, I imagine, with Billadieu's maiden name. He recognized the family resemblance when he saw her picture. Wow, that's, you know, this kid can do things I can't do now. I certainly couldn't figure out faces that look the same, I don't think, through Facebook. Oh my God, Boyson said when he saw and hugged Billadieu. You do have a sister, Billadieu said. You're about the same height mom was, Boyson said. Wait a minute, but if he was in a foster home, how would he know how tall his mother was? Billadieu's daughter, Sarah Billadieu, 42, and granddaughter, Megan Billadieu, 27, both wiped away tears and smiled during the reunion. He didn't have any women in his life, Sarah said. We're going to get that straightened out real fast. I guess so. Boyson said he's looking forward to visiting Beledeux near St. Louis and meeting more family. I'm hoping I can go and spend a week or two. I want to meet the whole congregation. I never knew I had a big family. Now, Eddie, the 7-year-old, who enjoys messing around with his family's iPad, said he's glad he was able to assist in making the reunion happen and that he learned about helping others at school. Clifford did not have any family, and family's important, the kid said. Near the end of their tearful reunion, Boyson and Beledeux, and that's the last time I'll be saying that name, presented Eddie with a $125 check in appreciation of his detective work. Now, I'd like to know how is a 7-year-old going to cash a $125 check. I suppose if he's already breaking into Facebook accounts and nosing around other people's business, I guess forging a signature won't be too difficult either. Well, you know, this is not the first time this has happened. I don't know if people remember this, but there was a famous incident a number of years ago where it was almost exactly the same thing, where a brother and sister were separated for a long time, I think about 65, 70 years, which when you think about it, that's a hell of a long time to be separated from a sibling. And in that particular case, I believe they actually broadcast it on the radio. They surprised them. And I've gone out and I've actually found a recording of that historic event. Let's listen.
We have a little surprise planned for today. Two people all set in opposite studios, Ray. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Whirley and her brother, Mr. Whirley, mm-hmm. whom they haven't seen. They haven't seen each other for 67 years. And we've flown Mrs. Whirley here, and Mr. Whirley lives right here in New York.
He took a bus to get here.
We have them in separate studios, and we think that they're going to really have a big surprise in store for them, thanks to us.
Why don't you talk to Mrs. Whirley first?
All right. Well, would you bring in Mrs. Whirley, please? Come on in, my dear.
Come on, step lively, lady, will you?
Oh, wait, she's 87 years old.
Well, I don't care, Bob. We only have 45
minutes. I know, but let's be kind to her. Right over
Come
here.
Come on, lady, step along.
Come
here.
On, mother, right over here.
Hey, Scott.
Sit down, if you will. You are Miss Tabitha Whirley, is that right?
Tabitha
called. Whirley.
Yes, a lot of people make that mistake.
And where do you make your home, Miss Whirley?
I live in Bondurant, Wyoming.
That's a wonderful country out there, I know.
Yes.
And you are 87 years young, is that right?
That's right.
And you were flown here by Bob and Ray. And do you have any idea why you're here in this studio today?
I don't have the remotest idea why I'm here.
Is there anyone...
Will you speak up, lady, please?
Well, she's speaking up, Ray. Don't...
Great Scott.
Do you have anybody that you would particularly like to see after, let's say, a great number of years? Someone you used to know?
No, I don't suppose.
Anybody in your family, Miss Whirley, that you particularly...
My family, let's see. No. No, it's been so long since I've seen any of them anyway. I don't suppose I'd know them if I fell over them anyway.
Do you remember your brother, Frank?
Sure.
How long is it since you saw him?
Let's see. It must be... Well, 70 years.
70 years. We thought it was only 66, but mm-hmm. It's 70.
It's 70.
Well, we have a little surprise arranged for you, Miss Whirley. We like to do this now and then with the excess cash that we have from our expense account. And I wonder if you'd open the door over there and bring in our next guest.
All right, come on, will you, pal? Step along.
Now, Mr. Frank Whirley is facing his sister, Tabitha, for the first time in 66 years. Let's hear what they have to say.
Well, what'd you want me here for?
This is your sister, Tabitha, Mr. Whirley.
Oh, hello, Tabitha.
Hello, Frank.
All right, now will you go over and sit down in our studio audience, please? Knowing that we've made two people happier. Now
Why don't you sit together in the same row? They're not even sitting in the same row.
Oh, and you probably have a lot to talk over, don't you, Miss Whirley?
Well, I suppose, but it's been so long.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Whirley, you have anything to say to your sister?
No, you've changed.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that we've...
You mind if I sit in another row?
No, you can sit anywhere you want.
Where do you live now, Tabitha? Bondurant, Wyoming.
Uh-huh. And so, as they exchange anecdotes of days gone by...
Wait a minute, I'd better get out of here. I have an appointment. I have to have my teeth fixed. Would you mind if I run along?
No.
No, you go ahead.
All right, and so we have rejoined the Whirlies, and we know that we've added a little bit of human kindness.
Is that why you flew me here?
Yes, you can go back any time now.
Well, I might as well run along home now. There's probably a plane leaving. Bye.
Bye, Miss Whirly.
Isn't that heartwarming?
It certainly is. It did something to me.
Yeah. That just goes to show it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to. From Bob and Ray and the 65, 70, whatever it was, year reunion. But yeah, that really happened in real life last week. I imagine they were a bit more excited. Another thing I wanted to focus on this in weeks past. You might have heard this story about potential trips to Mars in the future. And how they're overly concerned about the issue of sleep. They did an experiment where they found that astronauts going to such a faraway place can't get enough sleep. Now, they had six volunteers. They confined them in a cramped mock spaceship in Moscow to simulate a 17-month voyage. And what happened was most of the would-be spacemen were lethargic, like birds and bears heading into winter, gearing up for hibernation. The men went into a prolonged funk. Four had considerable trouble sleeping, with one having minor problems and the six mostly unaffected. Some had depression issues. Sometimes a few of the men squirreled themselves away into the most private nooks they could find. They didn't move much. They avoided crucial exercise. The experiment was run and funded by Russian and European space agencies. And according to the report, scientists can't tell if the men's lethargy was just lack of sleep or was also caused by other factors, the close quarters, lack of privacy with so many cameras or being away from their families for so long. It's a problem that has to be fixed and can be before astronauts are sent to Mars, as President Barack Obama has promised for the mid-2030s. Yeah, that's another promise that I hope he keeps. The trip to Mars, which is Earth's closest neighbor, would take about 6 months each way. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts on this. Now, they locked these people away for 17 months somewhere in Moscow in a make-believe spaceship, and they wondered why the people were kind of lethargic or depressed. Well, here's something. If you're in a spaceship, but you're not actually in a spaceship, you're simply underground someplace in a confined area, and you know that when you get out, you won't have gone anywhere. I think that's a good condition to get depressed around and to feel like, what's the point? Whereas if you actually are in a spaceship and you see an alien planet getting closer and closer with every single day, you might not be so depressed. You might be a bit more interested in what's going on. I just don't see how this experiment in any way resembles actually being in space, except for the actual space that you're taking up. But the entire circumstances surrounding it are so dramatically different that I just don't see how you can draw any parallels. So, no. Invalid. Do it again. Do it right this time. Send somebody up into space. What would have been so bad of sending somebody into space and doing the study that way? You know? Is that any worse than bottling somebody up underneath the streets of Moscow or wherever it was they happened to be and taking notes that way? I don't get to make these decisions, though. I'd like to play something else, too. I'd like to play an excerpt from last week's State of the State address by Governor Cuomo that you might have heard. I heard it by accident. Didn't even know it was happening. But it's a reason I can say that I'm actually proud to be a New Yorker. Let's listen.
I know that the issue of gun control is hard. I know it's political. I know it's controversial. But we are proposing today common sense measures. And I say to you, forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer. And too many innocent people have died already. End the madness now. Pass safe, reasonable gun control in the state of New York. Make this state safer. Save lives. Set an example for the rest of the nation. Let them look at New York and say, this is what you can do, and this is what you should do. This is New York, the progressive capital. You show them how we lead. We can do it. We've done it before. We can do it again.
And I believe they did it today. I believe the law was actually signed. So, wow, New York State taking the lead on gun control. Now, of course, not everybody agrees. People upstate are rather angry, some people upstate. But you know what? Too bad. Not everyone's going to be happy with every law. Fact is, this is what the people want. And let's just move on already. As I understand it, there aren't secret armies coming from the mountains from the United Nations that are taking people's hunting rifles and pistols and things like that. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Yet I'm seeing all these articles about how upstate gun owners are angry. But, you know, as the good governor said, nobody needs... Well, some people might need 10 bullets to kill a deer, but you know what? They shouldn't be out there hunting deer in the first place if they're such lousy shots. This is to keep people safe. It's to keep ridiculous weapons out of the hands of people. This is to restore the true meaning of the Second Amendment. And hopefully it's a step in the right direction for the rest of the country as well. We shall see. So, New York has passed that. The NRA is saying that, and I don't know why we're paying attention to them either. We need to stop paying attention to them because they're becoming more and more irrelevant. The National Rifle Association does not represent individuals. They represent companies. They represent gun companies, manufacturers. Those are the people that they stand up for. Now, you might be a member. You might think that they're standing up for you, but basically they're luring you in and making it seem with their twisted logic and history that they stand up for anything that that you believe in, and they really don't. They really don't care. It's about money. It's about power. It's about influence. Anyway, various groups, mostly the NRA, is saying that bids to ban assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition clips would fail in Congress. And, you know, if there are Congress people out there that aren't willing to vote for an assault weapon ban, then they should not be in power. Simple as that. Because the majority of people do want this. And no amount of doublespeak is going to change that. Not anymore. Even some congressional Democrats indicated that a bill to revive the U.S. assault weapons ban that expired in 2004 would have a difficult time winning passage in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives and Democratic-led Senate. So, they say an assault weapons standalone ban on just guns alone in the political reality that we have today will not go anywhere, according to Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. NRA President David Keene signaled little appetite for compromise as the White House mulls action on gun violence after the December 14th massacre in Connecticut. What we put the brakes on is anything that simply takes away a person's Second Amendment right for no good reason, he said. The likelihood is that they are not going to be able to get an assault weapons ban through the Congress. And asked about new limits on high-capacity ammunition clips, he added, I don't ultimately think they're going to get that either. When asked if there is anything he can suggest to make things safer, they just basically fall back on more guns. Yeah, more guns, and that somehow will make us safer. There have been so many pieces about this. There's been so much discussion and debate. It's a healthy thing. It's good to have the conversation, but it's bad to give up. It's bad to assume that your side is not going to be taken seriously or that you're helpless and can't do anything Fact of the matter is, you can do a lot, and all you have to do is speak up. It's what we've been saying here at this place for so many years. It's what I've learned over and over again. I saw a piece today on the CNN website by David Frum, and it said one thing which I thought was really interesting. The gun laws intended to put guns into the hands of good guys, which is what we've been hearing from the NRA, that a good guy with a gun is the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun. Those gun laws that are intended to put guns into the hands of good guys are the same laws that also multiply guns in the hands of bad guys. Bad guys who might not have become such bad guys if the guns had not been available to their hands. And that's something we need to keep in mind, that what constitutes a bad person? Bad people don't get born bad. They become bad. Something happens. They're good up until the point that they're bad. And since the NRA would defend the right of anybody to get any weapon, they're basically, to coin a phrase, shooting themselves in the foot, because they're the ones encouraging as many people as possible to get weapons. And then those are the same people that go berserk over one thing or another, and horrible things happen as a result. So we're going to be following that, obviously, in weeks ahead. And tomorrow, more attention will be paid to it. You'll hear it throughout the mass media as well, as Obama comes up with some actual steps, which hopefully will mean something. All right, again, our email address, otw@2600.com. In the couple minutes that we have left, let's just go over a couple of other stories which have been lying around, which I'd like to get out of the way. Yeah, hear about this guy in California who was driving in the carpool lane with corporation papers in the passenger seat? Yeah, Jonathan Freeman, San Rafael, California. He was pulled over for driving alone in the carpool lane. He argued to the officer that actually he did have a passenger. He waved his corporation papers at the officer, told him that the corporations, since corporations are people under California law, that this was, in fact, another person. And I guess two people constitutes an HOV lane. So that'll be an interesting case when it does go to court, if it ever does. But yeah, an interesting point being proven there. You hear about this? This is kind of a weird story that was on the Associated Press. Police in Oregon say a woman told officers that her boyfriend choked her with his dreadlocks. Now, you know, it's not that really interesting a story. It's kind of horrible, actually. Police spokesman said the guy was arrested for investigation of several domestic violence felony crimes, including strangulation, fourth-degree assault, secondary kidnapping, et cetera, et cetera. What's most interesting is the last line of this article in the Associated Press that felt it had to explain. Dreadlocks are matted ropes of hair. Now, I just wonder how many TV news and radio people read that word for word and felt that they had to also explain to their listeners and viewers what dreadlocks were. And I guess there are people out there who don't know what dreadlocks are. Well, to each their own, I suppose, but we need to be paying more attention. And this story was just sent in to us actually by Rob T. Firefly from Off the Hook. Many of us have probably already broken our New Year's resolutions by now, if we ever made any to begin with. But one woman in, where else, Seattle, said she is determined to stick out the entire 365 days of 2013, consuming nothing but products made by Starbucks and its associated companies. Kind of the opposite of what I was doing my whole life, where I didn't go to Starbucks until a couple of years ago. It's perhaps good timing that she's doing this year-long experiment after Starbucks has acquired Tazo Tea and Evolution Fresh Juices. I didn't know that. That way, she's not just limited to the standard Starbucks hot beverages. Well, they have cold beverages, too, in Starbucks. I mean, I don't know if this writer has ever been in one of them, but and they have sandwiches and all kinds of things. I don't want to be advertising what they have, but yeah, you could probably get away with this, I suppose. I've been going in and getting their nutrition by the cup charts for all their serving sizes. A woman whose actual name, oh, really? Her actual name is Beautiful Existence.
That's her actual name. A choice. You know, I'm not sure if this is the author saying, because it's in parentheses and not in quotes. A choice my mom came oh so close to making when I was born. I think it's the author injecting. Well, thank you, Chris Moran, for injecting your words into this. But the story's not about you, is it? No. Okay, her name is Beautiful Existence. I'm already getting a feel for what to eat. The plain nut pack as a snack because it only has 190 calories compared to the piece of pumpkin bread. Of course, this all comes with what some would call a hefty price. So far, she's averaging $18.79 a day on food and drink from Starbucks. For those of you who eat out all the time, this might seem like pennies, but some bargain shoppers who save money by eating in and making their own coffee will probably see that as wasteful. Oh, I see the traveling music is on, so we're on our way out of here. Let's finish the story, though. Ms. Existence, who says she does not work for Starbucks and is receiving no payment for her efforts, says she doesn't mind spending the money. The company pays good benefits for part-time workers. She explains, that's where my money is going. And for those interested in following this story, Ms. Existence's exploits are updated on a regular basis on her personal blog. And when I said on her personal blog, there was a link contained there, which when you print out a story, doesn't print the link. It just prints on her personal blog and underlines that. Maybe people who put together news stories should think about that, that if you print it out, you can't see the link because it's embedded into the HTML code. And we don't speak HTML in real life, do we? No, we don't. All right, that's it for the show. OTW at 2600.com. Stay tuned for basketball, where we teach Boston a thing or two. Good night.